wonderful day. Of course, as I was studying yesterday, I was thinking about the new year. I think we all think about the new year. We all have resolutions and stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So before I get ahead in my message, I want to read you something. Chapter 42, as we do tithes and offerings, verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Amen? I am the Lord, that is my name. Now watch this. He says, and my glory will I not give to another. You know why? Because there's none other capable of carrying that glory. Reason he can't share his glory with another, because there's none other in the whole universe that's possibly able to even carry the glory that our God has. And he says, neither my praise will he give to graven images. He said, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. New things. And he says right here, he says, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In other words, he's going to tell you things. See, it's the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he will tell you things. He will talk to you. He's a person. And he will tell you things before they even happen. New things. He said, sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, he's talking about praise, and he's like a new offering right here. Because, you know, when you sing, that's, you know, there's lots of offerings. You know, you've got the tithe, you know, the first fruits, the almsgiving, all that. But when he says praise, that's an offering. Your song is an offering to the Lord. And he says, sing a new song. Now, for us, you know, for them, they had to sing just out loud, just, you know, they couldn't say, okay, what's the new Taylor Swift song? We'll sing it. No, he said, sing a new song. He said, I don't want you singing something that somebody else has already said. I said, I want you to sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from unto the end of the earth. Yet ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. You know, the other day I was sitting down writing down faith goals for the new year. And one of them that I wrote down that I just think it's something that's just going to be fun. I wrote down that I want to be the biggest gift giver in this new year. I mean, just, you know how people, when people talk, if you will listen, you will hear pain in their voice sometimes. That is an opportunity for you to bless them. If someone's, you know, struggling in some area of their life, you know, whether it's financially or maybe they just want a new pair of, what were those warm gloves? Isotoners. Remember the isotoners? Are y'all too young for that? Remember the isotoners? Man, that was, man, if you had a pair of isotoners, that was like having an iPhone back in the day. When you hear pain in someone's voice, that's your opportunity to be the gift giver. Because when there's pain, there's an opportunity. I want to be a gift giver this year. I want to be, I mean, whether it's cash or it's a pair of isotoner gloves or, you know, buying someone dinner or just, you know, passing out $100 bills like Corey was, you know, last Sunday or two Sundays ago. I've made gift giving one of my biggest things for this year. I'm going to listen better, and I'm going to listen for people that need, you know, that need stuff, and just, you know, try to hear things, because that's something new. That's a new thing. You know, when you're able to give gifts, those are new things. As, you know, Christmas isn't the only time of the year that we get to give stuff. You can do it year-round if you want to. So I've made gift-giving one of those things, and I'm, of course, going to give gifts to the Lord. I'm going to, you know, praise him, you know, with my mouth, give him new offerings, you know, and just, you know, it ain't always about money. He said, sing a new song. He said, I'm going to tell you things that are going to happen. He said, I'm going to set you up for victory where you can't lose. And that's what we should be believing for this year. Amen. Y'all believe for that. When y'all give this morning, start believing for new ideas, because those new ideas might be the one thing that sets you over the top financially. I mean, your prosperity could just take off because of one idea. Amen. Y'all come give a big round of applause today. Be excited about giving. Come on up, Janet. You got your mic? You got a mic, don't you? Good.
I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Woo, that's hot. And I'm so thankful for this season. I'm so thankful for the gift of Jesus. And I'm so thankful he came as a baby, but y'all, he rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father to meet every need. Look at this baby girl. Look at these baby girls. He's here to meet any need you have this morning. If you have a need, he has the answer. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Just say Jesus, y'all. Just say Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. If y'all know this, sing it loud, y'all. Rescue for sinners, ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Amen. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for us. The whole earth shook, the veil was torn. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom from hell. Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
See you jump from here to there.
You know what? I take a flying leap.
Flying leap.
I want to surprise y'all.
Take a flying leap. Oh, golly. Thank you so much. Man, Jesus is the Messiah. Man, name above all names. Imagine there ain't no name in the universe that's above that name. The whole universe. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, kids, I think the youth already left. They're going to a little field trip today. But kids, you're dismissed. Big round of applause. Would y'all please clap for the kids? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I was about to put my jacket back on. It looked a little bit bright compared to that black vest I was wearing. Like, whoa. I took it off. I was like, wow, it's almost like those lights right here on the balls just lit up, you know? Wow, thank you. Man, I make anything look good, baby. Hey, that's what you gotta have that kind of, you gotta believe it, man. You can make anything look good. And wear it with pride. Amen? Now, I ain't going to wear no dress, but I could, you know, I would look good in one. I don't think I'll ever go there. I have let my daughter, you know, when she was younger, put makeup on my face and paint my fingernails and all that. But anyway. By the way, Linda does have a pair of Isotoner gloves. That is awesome. Found a pair of Isotoners in the sermon. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews. Title of this message is New Year, New You. New Year, New You. So, as I was saying earlier about New Year's resolutions, I don't know. It seems like I'm always doing the New Year's message. I think Corey's usually gone every year at New Year's. I don't know why, but it seems like I almost preached this similar to something like this last year about resolutions. Well, what you need to understand about New Year's is it's just another day. And, you know, the only thing that changes is the calendar. You know, so don't wait until the end of the year and almost the start of a new one to do something different with your life. If you're midway through the year and you think something needs to change, change it right then. Don't wait till December. Say, well, you know, when December rolls around, you know, I'll start eating right or I'll start exercising or whatever. Do you know exercise, you know what, do you know there are more, you know, I'm thinking about opening me a gym because there are more people that give to gyms and buy a year membership and never use it. More money is wasted at the fitness center. You one of those? You've done that? There is more money wasted at the fitness center than probably anywhere else on this planet. When you commit to it, do it, even if it's painful. My triceps are still hurting from Friday's workout, but the pain is my gain. Amen? When it's a little bit painful, on the flip side of the pain is your gain. That's where you see the results. And it's going to hurt. It might hurt a little bit for you to start, but it's doable. Never give up. Amen? Y'all have heard me say one of my favorite pictures of all time is that crane eating that frog and that frog strangling that crane saying, never give up. Never give up. One of the best of all time. So I'm going to talk to you today about learning how to rest. And as we read through Hebrews 4, we're going to talk a lot about resting. And of course, y'all know that, you know, in the future there will be an ultimate rest that we are headed towards. But you have got to learn how to rest here. You can't wait until heaven. You can't be one of those heaven waiters who's always waiting for heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, it'll be better. It should be better now. You don't need to wait till then. Nobody likes pain. You've got to learn how to overcome pain. You've got to learn how to find what the solution to pain is. And if it's isotoner gloves, get the isotoner gloves. Amen? Don't let those hands freeze. Get the gloves. Get the good ones. Always get the good stuff. Don't be one of those that says, well, I can't afford this, so I'll get the cheap one. That's okay for a little while. Get the cheap one. But there's got to be a day where you eventually faith in the good groceries. Amen? Start buying the good food instead of the cheap stuff. Start wearing the nice clothes instead of the Goodwills. I used to shop at Goodwill. I loved that store. I found one of my favorite shirts of all time I ever found there was Walmart Cart Crew. And I wore it with pride. Walmart Cart Crew. But you can't stay there forever. Now, I know you might be one of those, and I'm kind of like this. I have a hard time buying new clothes and nice clothes for myself. It's almost like someone has to give them to me for me to wear them. Because I have a hard time spending money on new stuff, on new clothes. But you've got to eventually graduate out of being satisfied with mediocre and start moving into the prosperity and start living in the blessing and not just knowing about the blessing. You got to start living in it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now, as you look at that, if you read the Amplified, it says that he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. You need to know something about entering into God's rest. It is never too late. Don't wait for a new year to start entering a rest. God wants you to be at peace. Being at rest means you have fullness of joy. You have 100% peace about stuff, just like when we prayed for this little girl. You have to have fullness of joy within you, and you have to believe by faith that it's going to be okay. You hear me? It's going to be okay. You've got to believe by faith, and I know it's easy to doubt. Whether it's your kids, or it's your marriage, or it's your finances, it's easy to walk yourself backwards away from the blessing and start doubting in all of those things. Because you can faith in new stuff just like you can doubt in new stuff. Amen? You can doubt in the curse. And then the curse sometimes comes in new waves, new forms. It looks different. You know, sometimes, you know, when we were growing up, we walked in the curse. We didn't even know it. And as you get older, the curse changes. You know, the curses back then might be different than what they are now. The curse back then when you were a kid wasn't your financial blessing because you didn't have to work. You were a kid. But as you get older, the curse starts becoming financial. And that's where the devil likes to hit you the worst. He likes to hit you the most right there in your finance, in your bank account, because that is where the worry starts, is with the money. The curse is going to come in different forms. But the thing about the blessing has been established from the beginning of time, and it doesn't change. It hasn't changed since Noah's time, or since Abraham's time, or since Adam and Eve's time. The blessing is still the same. It doesn't change. And you can operate in what they were able to operate in that they chose not to when the curse came in. See, I heard Kenneth Copeland say it one time. He said that originally the blessing was meant that the Garden of Eden wasn't meant to stay in the Middle East where it is or where it was. God's original plan for the blessing was that it, for the Garden of Eden was that it was to spread through the whole world. But what stopped it from spreading was the enemy and the curse. They took something. Satan came in and took something from them. He took back what was theirs. He tricked them into giving up what was ultimately theirs to make the blessing, to make the Garden of Eden go all over the world. He said, I can't allow that. See, the devil wants everything opposite of what God wants. He said, I can't allow that. You know, if you were Satan, you just have to understand, you know, if you were the devil, you'd have to be pretty ticked off that you got kicked out of heaven. Amen? You know, I'm sure he's pretty mad about getting thrown out of heaven, considering that he was the head, you know, choir director. He was the angel who looked so beautiful and was so magnificent. He was so beautiful and magnificent that when he walked, he made music. He didn't have to play the instruments. When he his very existence was beautiful and sounded amazing. Never think that it is too late. And here's another thing. Don't let Monday steal your rest. If you got a problem with Monday, rename it. Don't call it Monday anymore. Call it Happy Day or Hot Chocolate Day or something, whatever suits your fancy. Rename Monday. You cannot be the type that allows a day of the week steal your joy. You cannot allow your rest and your peace to only exist on Friday afternoon through Sunday night. Do not let the world steal your rest. It's just a day. I mean, that week actually starts on Sunday. Don't let old sayings and old things like, oh, it's another Monday, here we go. It's only another Monday because you made it another Monday. Rename it. If you got a clunker car you're driving around, don't call it clunker anymore. Call it Fireball. Or Corvette. Huh? And start believing for one. Amen? Start believing for Fireball. You know, like Jet, my boy said, he said, one day when I grow up, Dad, I want a gold Corvette. And the rims are going to be gold. And the mirrors are going to be gold. And the seats are going to be gold. I was like, man, it's a gold car. It's going to look like a giant gold nugget driving down the road. And the steering wheel is going to be gold. I said, I'll get you one when you're 16, but it's going to have a V6 in it. And as you get older, we'll put a little bit bigger motor in it. When you get that professional, you know, that contract to play professional soccer, you can buy your own car, buy your own Corvette. He said, but it has to be gold. The seats are gold. I said, my shoestrings will be gold. Everything will be gold. Don't let days or material things that you have or don't have steal your rest. Don't worry about what you don't have. Focus on what you have and work on focusing on obtaining what it is that you don't have. Because there ain't nothing wrong with wanting stuff. Start believing for those things. You can't give gifts if you don't have a gift. Amen? If you don't have anything, you can't give anything. Start believing. And no, it's not religious. This is not, God did not set up religion to where you know, he did not set up Christianity to where it had to be some religious thing where you had to not have stuff. It is not selfish to want things. If you're new here and you've never heard that before, let me tell you something. God wants you to have stuff. He is not a poverty God. People always get upset about the poverty or the prosperity gospel. Well, I've tried both. I've tried the poverty gospel and I've tried the prosperity one. I like prosperity a lot better. Amen. It suits me a lot better because being broke is not fun. I don't know why people get excited about the poverty gospel because there ain't nothing fun about it. Rename your days. The things that you're struggling with, rename them. Call them something different until Monday doesn't feel like Monday anymore. Verse 2. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The same gospel of rest was preached to them in the Old Testament times when Moses and all the Israelites came out of it, when all the Jews came out of Egypt. The same gospel was preached to them. Now, Jesus was not preached to them yet, but the same God that brought the blessing still existed in the Old Testament. He was still there. The Jesus gospel was preached to us after Jesus came. Isn't it amazing that, see, the Jews actually knew that the promised land was there. Their problem was is that they couldn't believe that God could take them to it. They did not believe that the promised land was there. They just couldn't believe that God could get them there. That's the difference. They knew the promised land there. That's why they sent the spies. They sent the spies. You know, if they would have truly thought that God could take them there, they wouldn't even have to send the spies, in my opinion. They said, we don't need to send spies. Why do we need to send spies in there? Why do we need to know how big or little they are? We have the God of the universe on our side. We don't need to send spies. We can just march in there and take the place. We don't have to wait. We don't have to send spies and wait for 12 people to come back and give us a report. We know where the promised land is. Get your tents, pack up your goodies, and let's go. They didn't believe God could get them there. It must have been tiring. All that doubting. You know what the thing, you know what the thing about doubt, you know what the amazing thing about doubt is? That it makes you tired. It steals your rest, robs your joy. And the whole time that they were in the desert with Moses, all that doubting, can you imagine how tiring that was? Can you imagine how frustrated Moses must have been? I don't know how Moses even interceded before him when God said, you know what, I'm tired of them. They're down there worshiping a golden calf. I'm going to go down there and just wipe them out. We're going to start over with you, Moses. Moses started interceding. I don't know how he had the nerve to even intercede for them, considering that they were always turning on him. They were always turning on him. You brought us out here. Now we got no water. Let me hit this rock here. Let me get you some water. And we ain't got no food. Well, then he sends manna. Heck, I parted the Red Sea. I mean, God parted the Red Sea for you. Do you not believe he can feed you in the desert? Do you not believe that he can provide water? Have y'all seen the documentary? I think Glenn Beck put it on his website the other day. A guy went over there. And he went to a lot of places that you're not supposed to go. I mean, some of them are covered with, you know, they're marked with armed guards. They've got guns surrounding these places because they're holy. But the Muslims are protecting them. Even though the Muslims probably don't agree with the Christianity part, they still know that it's a holy place. They actually think they have found the rock that God split. And it's like 30 or 40 feet tall, like tall as this building. And there's a giant split right down the middle of it. Right down the center, and it split just like this. Huge rock. Now, God didn't just beat on a little old pebble or a little old boulder about the size of the speaker. He said, I'm going to pick a big rock to make water come out of. Now, whether it's the rock or not, I don't know, but it's for sure a darn big one. All that doubting can make you tired. You want to enter into rest this year? Start believing for the things that you've been doubting for all these years. You've been doubting all these years for no money. You've been doubting all these years for no increase at your job or no promotion at your job. You've been doubting for it for years. You might as well start believing for it. Amen? Let's try doing the opposite. As you read verses 6 through 9, it talks about, we won't read those, but as you read through there, it talks about entering into a permanent rest one day. It tells us of a place of rest that's permanent. And then as you get to verse 10, let's read verse 10. He says, for he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So one day we will actually ultimately rest from all of our labors. Eventually all this that we do, because all that we do now is not going to matter. When we get to heaven one day, it ain't going to matter. You won't need money. You won't need clothes because you'll have the finest clothes around. Clothes that don't even wear out. You won't need money because you won't have to buy stuff. You know how easy it's going to be to faith in heaven? Do you know how easy that's going to be? I mean, when you read about how awesome heaven looks, and when the new heaven and the new earth are here, the new heaven is going to be so amazing that it's going to be impossible to doubt. Heaven is designed for 100% faith and zero doubt. And there will be nobody there that can lead you astray or take you away from believing in God. Heaven is so amazing, and it's the hope that we have in the future heaven that keeps us believing here on earth as we work here on earth, that keeps us believing for prosperity here. And it keeps us going forward, and it keeps us believing for stuff. because of what we have that's coming. So one day we will ultimately rest from all our labors. But you have got to find ways to rest here. If you've ever had a problem, this is what I'll do sometimes. If you ever have a problem faithing in something, you know, what's amazing about God is He sent the Holy Ghost to us. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. If you're ever having trouble believing for something or having to faith something in, just stop and meditate for just a second what it must be like to already be in heaven. What it must be like to have zero doubt. Try to visualize yourself having zero doubt in you. And try to visualize walking in miraculous things that the natural mind can't even comprehend. When you're doubting and you need to practice faithing in things, meditate and try to faith and try to visualize what it must be like to have zero doubt. Has anybody ever done that? You ever tried to visualize having zero doubt? What it must be like to not even have the opportunity to doubt? Because that's the only thing that's keeping you from going forward in life, is your doubt. There's only one thing that pleases God, and that's faith. And there's only one thing that displeases Him, and that's doubt. Don't let weariness and pain, as you read the Amplified, it says, "For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors." Because human labors comes with pain. But the good thing about the pain, on the flip side of your pain, is your gain. Don't let weariness and pain and labor steal your rest. Because God reminds us, like He said in verse 10, one day there will be no pain. The reassurance and the hope of ultimate rest in heaven is enough to give us joy in our labors here. Verse 11, He says, "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves." The other day I don't remember if I was asleep or if I was coming out of, waking up or whatever, but sometimes when I feel like God's telling me something, I'll just write it down. I'll write as much as I can, as fast as I can. As a matter of fact, I have it on my phone right here. And this is what I wrote. Because when it talked about in verse 11, it says, "experience it for ourselves." In the Amplified, if you have the Amplified version, it says, "to know and experience it." This is what I wrote. This is really cool. I wrote, "The only thing left is to experience everything we've been believing for." You have heard the prosperity gospel your whole life. Well, I mean your whole life. I shouldn't say your whole life. If you've been going to church, you've heard either the prosperity gospel your whole life, or you've heard religion first and then you've heard prosperity. Because if you're here, you're hearing prosperity gospel. We don't preach the other one. I wrote, "The only thing left is to experience everything we've been believing for." That's the only thing that's left. You've heard the prosperity gospel. The only thing that's left is to experience it. "You have been taught everything in the Word. All that's left is to experience it. We are fully saturated like a rag that's been submerged in water." So think about that, You throw a rag into the water or a sponge, it absorbs what it goes into. "So we are fully saturated like a rag that's been submerged in water with the prosperity gospel. It's time to wring yourself out and watch the Holy Spirit get all over everyone." Because why? What does the Bible say? The Holy Spirit will be poured out in these end times. So the purpose of the gospel is not so that you can fully saturate yourself in it. It's so that you can pour yourself out with it. The gospel wasn't for us just to keep. It was for us to share. That's the whole purpose of the gospel. He didn't say, "I've written this Bible so that you can learn everything in it and absorb it and keep it." He said, "I've written this to you so that you could use it and take it." Like Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world preaching the gospel." The only thing that's left, and this is the fun part. You've heard it. Now the best part is actually experiencing it. That's going to be the fun part. It's not just the hearing it. Because you can stand up here and talk about miracles all day long. You can talk about how God parted the waters. You can talk about how he fed them in the desert. You can talk about how he gave them water in the desert. You can talk about how Jesus healed the blind man, rose a man from the dead. Those are all cool things, but it's not that cool as experiencing it. That's the cool part. That's going to be the fun part. And he says, be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently. My friends, there ain't nothing there's nothing in this world that you should be more zealous about than the gospel. You've got to fight for it. You've got to want it. Amen. Remember the cheerleading song? You got to want it to win it. And we want it bad. You got to want it to win it. And we want it bad. You got to want it to win it. And we want it bad. No, I was not a cheerleader. All right. That's it. Let's go home for the day. I've cheerleaded y'all happy, so let's go. But watch what verse 12 says. I'm going to read the Amplified because it really is good. He said, For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active and operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life. It is active. The word is powerful. It is active. See, the word is not dead. The word is, I mean, if the word is dead, then we have no God. Then there's nothing. If Jesus is the word and he's dead, then we're in trouble. We have nothing. It says it is active. In other words, it is operating in our lives. As much as you're willing to faith it, it is operating. It is energizing. It gives you energy when you don't have any. There's nothing more painful than being tired all the time. There's nothing more painful because when you're tired, you don't feel like working. And then Monday feels like Monday, doesn't it? You know, and you're tired and you can't focus, you can't think. And all you can think about is getting home to your bed so that you can get to Tuesday. Because Tuesday to the world is the second day of the week, Tuesday. It's supposed to be a little bit better than Monday. The word is active. It's operative. Operating in your life. As much as you're willing to faith it, it is operating. It is energizing. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is effective. In other words, it works. It's effective. If you work it, the Bible says that it'll work. You know what's awesome about the word is the word's not lazy. Oh, that just came to me. The word is not lazy. The amazing thing about the word of God is that it operates as soon as you say it. It operates immediately. It doesn't start operating tomorrow, you know, when we get to Tuesday. You know, Jesus doesn't take Monday off and say, Holy Spirit, you know, it's okay, you can take Monday off. The word comes immediately. And as soon as you start saying it out of your mouth, it starts operating instantly. It doesn't wait till tomorrow to start working. Thank God, amen? Because, man, miracle, sometimes, you know, sometimes there ain't no tomorrow. If you're on your deathbed, you can't wait for the Holy Ghost to work tomorrow. You need him working now. God is sifting and he is analyzing and finding out who you are and who your enemies are. Why? Because he's building you up because of righteousness, and he's going to bring you before kings, and he's watching your enemy so that he can bring him out into the open, into the light, to expose his wicked devices. Why? Because the word is operating. It's not waiting around. As soon as you start faithing in things, God starts looking for the enemy and says, where is the enemy operating right now? And then the Holy Ghost will start telling you, hey, you need to start praying against this. You need to start praying against that, because the enemy's right here on your right side, and he's trying to come at you from this angle, and he's going to hit you, and it's going to be something you've never seen before. He's going to take all your money. You've always been rich, but tomorrow you may not have anything because he is right there, but you better start praying against him, because he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy right now. He's trying to take from you. He's wanting to steal from you. God, you know, if Satan, you know, if money was evil, why hasn't the devil blessed us with a bunch of money? If money's evil, why aren't we all rich? A to the men on that. You know, hello. It's because he don't want you to have stuff. Because it takes money to buy stuff. It takes money to put gas in your car to come to church. It takes money to buy the car. Takes money to buy the house. You know, we don't have to have a house. We don't have to have a car, but it's nice to have a bed to sleep in, amen. And it's nice to have transportation. We don't have to have it, but we have it. And it's a lot better that we do. Verse 14. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast. Because that's going to determine your rest. How willing, like Corey was preaching the other day, he said, this is one thing right here, but this is something else. This means you're together, but this means you're committed. This means you want something, and that, you know, it's a good idea, let's work together on that, but this means, hey, I won't leave you, let's do it. We're in this, for, you know, win or lose, we're in this. God, the thing about the Holy Ghost is he's on the inside of you, but they've also said that he's on the outside of you. He's on your right hand. He's a person. And I can't prove this. I don't know where it says it scripturally. But everything, if you look through the scriptures, the right hand was always the dominant hand. And if you're left-handed and you're right-left-handed, that doesn't mean you're weak. Just means you think different than everybody else. Everybody always says that the left-handers are smarter. I don't believe that. I used to write with my left hand because I broke my hand. When I was a kid, I got in a fight and I broke my hand. And I had to write, and I had to learn how to play basketball left-handed. I had to learn how to throw football left-handed. But, you know, I always went back to the right hand. But I learned how to write left-handed. I think Mom even kept some of my left-hand stuff that I had to write left-handed. There ain't nothing like, you know, if you ever try to do it, just try it. Just, you know, try to get your brain to do something different. It's just something to do. You know, just try to write your name left-handed, or, you know, you normally brush your teeth with your right hand. Just, you know, try doing it with your left hand. Or like Seinfeld said, just hold the toothbrush and move your head. You know. Try something new for a change, amen? You always drive with your right hand, well, try doing it with the left hand, you know. Try something new. Hold fast to this profession about Jesus. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to hold fast, because I'm telling you, the devil will do anything to knock you off your rocker. You know, you're standing here, you're trying to stand, like the Bible says to stand, 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 therefore, stand, keep standing. If you don't hold on, you ain't going to stand. You got to learn how to hold on to something. Strengthen that grip. Like when you're a weight trainer, you know, and you work out with weights, your grip matters a lot. If you don't have a strong grip, you can't do pull-ups. If you don't have a strong grip, you can't do deadlifts. You got to work on that grip. What makes this grip stronger? Exercise. There's nothing like exercising the Word of God in your life. Because if you don't exercise it, it ain't going to grow. It's just like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it don't grow. Your spirit man does not grow if you don't exercise it. It is operating, and it is a two-edged sword. Dividing and sifting and looking for the enemy. It's sharp on both sides. The thing about God's sword is it's sharp on both sides. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. As you read the Amplified, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weakness and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation. In other words, he knows what it feels like. He's been there. He's been to the point of shedding his own blood. We haven't been there. We have not been tempted, like the Bible says, to the point of shedding our own blood. While he was being whipped, he could have said, I ain't doing this after the first strike. He could have said, it's over, I'm done. I ain't going to the cross. But he stood there and he took it like a lamb led to the slaughter. If you know anything about sheep, they follow. One goes, they all go. All of them. You get one to go in, they all go in. God understands how tired you can be. He is not unaware of your unrest. But the good thing is he knows how to get you to the point where you don't have to be tired all the time. And he can get you out of that mediocre state or that, what's another word for it, Holy Spirit? That content, well, you know, you're supposed to be content, but not complacent. Is that what y'all said? Complacent. He doesn't want you in that complacent state where you don't do anything with the word. Don't be just satisfied with being saved. Don't be satisfied until you're out of debt, when you get rid of that debt devil. Amen? Don't be satisfied. Don't be complacent with it. You got to fight for your money just like you have to fight for your soul. Because that devil is going to do anything. He's going to do anything that he can think of. All of his wicked devices, he's going to do anything to distract you, to mess with your mind, your will, and your emotions. He'll do anything. Verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly. Let us come boldly, fearlessly, and confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of God's unmerited favor to his sinners, this is the Amplified, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Now, this is what I wrote yesterday, and you need to get a hold of this. If you haven't experienced prosperity in areas of your life, it might be because you're running late. New faith, think about this, new faith. Now faith. You know how the Bible talks about now faith? Now faith brings now blessings. Now delayed faith brings delayed blessings. Your now doubt brings now curse, now cursings. But your delayed faith is going to bring delayed blessings. If there's anybody that's on time, it's God. And everybody's always thinking, well, God says, you know, yes, and then sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says maybe. Let me tell you something. That is not the truth. The Bible, the blessing has been the same from the beginning. It hasn't changed. If you say the blessing, it's a yes. Now, if you can't faith it in, you may not see it immediately. It might come later, but the fact that you actually said the words proves that it's operating in your life. It's going to work now. Now faith brings now blessings. And if you're not getting the things that you're believing for, it's probably because you're running behind. It ain't God running behind. The blessing's the same. And it operates the same, and it's always on time. And if you ain't getting it when you wanting it, it's probably because you're running late. And it doesn't. I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about faith. You're running late on faith. You're running low. Your tank's low. You need to fill it up again. Your car's running out of gas. You can't get to your destiny if the car has no fuel. Now faith brings now blessings. Delayed faith brings delayed blessings. He said you have to be fearless. He said fearless and confident and bold. He said, come boldly to the throne. You remember that scripture where God says, come, let us reason together. Man, there is nothing more awesome than sitting down and reasoning with God. He said, come, let's reason. He said, tell me your case. Tell me your faith. Where have you been doubting? You know what's amazing? God, he'll just sit there and talk to you because he's a person. He'll sit there and tell you, okay, you've been missing it here. And then you'll say things like, but I believe that you can do those things, Lord. Yeah, but you haven't been running your motor. You haven't been faith in the men. You might believe that they're possible, but you haven't been faith in them. You haven't been getting a hold of them and holding on to them. You've been faith in it for a little while and then doubting for another. You know, doubting for a little while. Then you faith again. Then you doubt again. And then you don't see it. And then you start doubting some more. And then you start faith in it. Then you even sow a seed. You even start sowing seeds, believing for it. And then you don't see it again. Why? Because you start doubting again. God said, your seed is good, but you don't know how to water it. Ain't nothing like, I mean, you don't sow a tomato seed and never water it again, do you? No, you sow the seed and you keep watering it. Keep pouring that water on it, nurturing it, putting, you know, giving it the nutrients it needs, giving it the, what is it the rain has that, you know, that water doesn't have, there's a mineral, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, rain has something that just natural water out of the ground doesn't have, but, you know, it helps the grass grow, whatever that mineral is, but, you know, if you're a landscaper, you know what I'm talking about. You got to water your seed. You got to start believing what it is that you're sowing for. Don't sow the seed and then start doubting tomorrow. Sow it and believe it. And he says, be fearless. Hold on to it. The word is a two-edged sword. It's expedient. It's not lazy. It's energizing. It'll give you energy when you don't have any. You didn't get any sleep last night. It's energizing. Just start saying the word. Just start reading the word. Find the word. Whatever words you have memorized. If you don't have your Bible, just start saying what you know. God's promises, they're not yes, no, and maybe. The blessing works the same since the beginning of time. If you say it, it's coming. You want to be the biggest gift giver on the whole planet? Start believing for gifts. You know what's amazing about rich people? Is they're all givers. Most of them, I should say. But even the ones that don't believe in God, they're givers. They do it all the time, and God just keeps blessing them. Why? Because they're giving. They don't have to be. You don't have to be saved to work that system. He says, be fearless and confident. And that's another thing, a key word. If you want rest this year, you want to rest in God's blessings, you're going to have to be confident in this word. You're going to have confidence that what God actually says is actually going to happen. It's the truth, and it's operating. And you've got to believe that even if you don't see the blessing immediately, you have to believe by faith that it is operating behind the scenes. You have to have confidence that it's going to happen. When football players walk onto the football field, they don't walk out there and say, you know, guys, I don't think we can win today. They are confident that they can win. And even if they lose, what do? They go back on Monday and they start working out again because they believe what? That they're going to win this weekend. They keep believing and they keep working and they keep working. And eventually one day they win. And then eventually one day they win the big one. Just like Alabama, amen? Or the New England Patriots. Let me tell you something about, you know, when you look at the Bible, you know, when you think of the goat was not the, you know, that was the cursed animal. The sheep was always the blessed animal. But when they call you the goat, you know the acronym, you're the greatest of all time. You want to be the greatest of all time. You want to be that acronym, the goat. You want to be the greatest of all time givers of all time. You want to be, what is it, Times Man of the Year or Times Woman of the Year? Because you do things like, the football player from the Houston Texans. Why am I not remembering that? I watch football all the time. J.J. Watt. That guy raised millions of dollars for flood victims. And he didn't get much recognition. He got some, but he didn't get a lot of recognition. But he raised millions of dollars for those people. And, you know, I'm pretty sure God was up there like, yeah, that's a way. Man, forget football. Man, that is awesome. I gave you gifts to play football, and he, you know what he did? He used it to bless others. He didn't use it just to bless himself, say, hey, I'm the number one defensive end for the Houston Texans. No. He didn't work that way. He said, I'm going to use that. He said, I'm going to use my platform and my prestige to bless thousands and millions of victims who had flood problems, who lost everything, who lost their house, lost their money, lost their cars. And that's what God's telling you to do. You may not be the starting defensive end for the Houston Texans, but you have gifts. And you better use your gifts this year to give to others. Man, use your gift, man. God gave you something that nobody else has. My wife has uncles. My father-in-law, he's got brothers. And I'm telling you, and Mark's the same way, you could be a piece of crap, trash, dirt bag, and he will tell you you are the greatest person on this earth. I mean, because they're builder up. They're people that just build you up. They just have a gift for just building you up and telling you how great you are. You could be a nobody. You could be the worst human on this planet, and he would tell you you're the greatest. Man, you got something in you. Man, you're just so good at that. That's how, I mean, some people have that gift. I'm not that good at that. I guess I'm just, when I feel the Holy Spirit tell me to just say it, I'll say it when, if I feel a need to bless somebody or edify them. But just walking around all the time and just tell them, man, you're just awesome. Man, you make the best sandwiches. And if you make the best sandwiches, you're welcome at my house anytime. Amen. There's something inside of you that nobody else has. Now, everybody else might have a similar gift and might have that gift of edification, but there ain't nobody that's going to use it like you do. Nobody. You're in high places for a reason. You're in special places on this planet for a reason. And God will use your gifts. And the whole purpose of those gifts is not just so you can get rich, which is great, but so that you can bless others with the gifts that you have. Be the biggest gift giver this year. Amen. Be the goat. Be the goat of the givers. Amen. And start believing everything that God said in this word. Amen. Start believing it. You've doubted for years. Like I heard a preacher one time say, he had a guy come up to him and said, I don't know if I believe in that prosperity stuff. He said, well, try rebellion for a while and see how that works for you. Try that out for a while. If you want to be rebellious, just try it. See what you reap from it. Because the seed time and harvest works on the wicked or the righteous. It works both ways. You've tried doubt for years. Sit down tonight and try to visualize what it must be like to have no doubt. What does it feel like? What does it feel like? What does it make you feel like to have zero doubt? If you could have everything in this world that you wanted, what does that faith feel like to you? What does it feel like to have that kind of faith? That if you could say something, just like God did when he made the earth and made the universe, he said it and then it happened. Now, it could have, I don't know how long it took. It's a big universe. Our minds naturally probably can't think of it. But just try to sit down and try to think about, this is a word you need to get a hold of right here. Supernatural. Because the supernatural always overrides the natural. You want to be a person that lives in miracles daily. Not every now and then. Don't be one of those that has a testimony of, well, one time 20 years ago, this happened to me. Faith people walk in miracles daily. Now, if you're not seeing miracles in your life daily, it doesn't mean you ain't doing it right. It doesn't mean you messed up. But try to work towards that. Try to work towards having zero doubt in your life. And try to visualize what it feels like. Spend time meditating in the Word and try to visualize what it feels like. Because I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of it, you'll start experiencing it. Because you're the rag. You're the sponge that's been thrown in the water for years. And now it's time to wring yourself out. It's time that you start pouring out everything that's on the inside of you. Pour it out of yourself so that others can have what you have. Because that's the most important thing. Receiving Jesus is the most important thing on this planet. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Today I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Jesus, if you're new here, maybe you didn't know you had to receive Jesus to be saved. Today, I will give you an opportunity, because at this church, we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So if you're new here, or maybe you've been going here for a while and you've never received Jesus as your Lord, I want you to know that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is no alternative. There is no, I was a good boy, and I gave lots of gifts, and I was a good person. That does not get you into heaven. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. He was sent here to die for you. He died on a cross and rose again on the third day, and He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He sent His Holy Ghost to be your comforter. So if you're new here today and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, I want you to pray this prayer after me. And we're all going to pray it with you together to give you some comfort. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to come to the front or anything like that. All we want you to do is pray a simple prayer with all of us and receive Jesus as your Lord. So if that's you, pray this prayer with us. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross and arose again on the third day. I believe Jesus is my Savior. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you prayed that prayer for the very first time and received Jesus, I want you on the count of three to just raise your hand and let me know that was you. And that's all you're going to do is raise your hand and let me know that that was you. I just want some verification just to see if that was you, if you know, see if there's anybody here that prayed it and received Jesus for the first time. So on the count of three, just raise your hand and say, yes, that was me. I received Jesus for the very first time. On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? All right. Look at me. Hallelujah. All right. So, with all that being said, let's start off this new year right. Man, write you some goals down. You know what God told me one day about goals? And I mean, it's, for some of y'all, if you have goals, you know it's probably common knowledge to you. But if some of you that don't write goals, let me tell you something. If you don't have anything that you're working towards, you will never get there. And if you don't know what those goals are, and you don't see them daily, you will never get there. And you have, and there's something about writing them down and putting them on your mirror. There's something about putting them in your phone. Goals are very important. Take the time to do it. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying you can't, you know, get to prosperity without, you know, with, you know, I'm not saying you can't prosper without the goals. I'm just saying it sure helps. So work towards those goals. Amen. Trevor, Jennifer, y'all come up here. Come on up. I want to, before we get out of here, we're going to pray over this couple. This is Trevor. Turn around, face the crowd, and say, hi, my name's Trevor. Jennifer and Trevor. And they just got engaged, right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
On Christmas Eve, one of my favorite times of the year. But they are, now if you don't know, I don't know a lot about you because I ain't around you, but I know a lot about this guy.
Well, it's about him.
Yeah, it's about him. So, if you've never played golf, don't play with this guy because he'll make you look ridiculous. But he runs the Georgetown Golf Course, the country club. They're in Georgetown, and he's been the, not anymore. He was the main guy there. But now he has been called to go to Louisiana. So he'll be in Louisiana playing golf now and leading the golf course there, basically doing the same thing he was doing here. But they've been going to church here for a long time, and he was on our rodeo committee, and Corey just wanted to bring him up here and just send them off. And this is how, for those of you who ever, you know, leave church, this is how you leave right here. You don't leave offended. You don't get mad and leave. You know, if there is offense, I don't know why I'm getting off topic here, but if there is offense, you go to the person and you settle it. You don't leave mad, because if you leave mad, you're just going to go somewhere else mad. He's not leaving mad. They are not leaving mad. They're leaving because he's being called to go to a different part of the country. So I always tell people this, that I, you know, strangers, you're not a stranger, but if I ever see a stranger and I know they're a Christian, I always tell them this. If we never see you again, we'll see you in heaven. Amen? Because, you know, if we never see them on earth, we'll see them in heaven. So they're leaving, and this is their last Sunday here, so.
Not hers.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So she's here till July, but we're sending, okay, so we're going to send you off.
Right.
And then maybe we'll bring you up and pray over you again. Okay. So about when y'all getting married, by the way?
July.
Okay. So July. Okay. Happy summer. That's my favorite time. I like, that's when all the sweating, you know. Well, it is my favorite, but health-wise, I like sweating. I really like, and I don't like this winter nonsense. And I'm a Texan, but I'm thinking about moving to Bahamas, you know. I like to sweat. Sweatness. My daughter told me one time, she said, I don't want to go to work with you anymore. There's too much sweatness. It's like, okay, you can stay home. You don't have to go. So before we get out of here, y'all stand to your feet. And as we pray and dismiss, I'm going to pray over Trevor and Jennifer and just pray that he'll be blessed wherever he goes. And if you don't know this guy, you need to get to know him. He's a wonderful man. So Father, right now as we leave today, I pray over Trevor and Jennifer, and wherever they go on this planet, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that everything that their hands touches will prosper.
Yes.
Every ladder that they climb, Lord, they will get to the top. Every mountain they climb, they will head to the top. And that no enemy will come against them, no weapon formed against them, and their marriage will prosper. We thank you, Lord, that he operates, he is energized and operating in the word every day. And that everything he does, Lord, will be pleasing to you. Every word that he speaks, every word that Jennifer speaks, and when they become one, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that nothing, not even Satan, can tear it apart. No weapon formed against their marriage shall prosper. And in his job, Lord, I pray if there be enemies there that try to deceive or try to backstab or try to hinder him from being successful in his job, Lord, I pray that you remove them. That you remove them from that place. And Father, we just thank you that they will find a church to be a part of in Louisiana.
Yes.
And that their spirits will grow individually and as one when they become one, Lord.
Yes.
That spiritually they will be successful. And Father, as we leave today, I thank you that you go with us in this new year. Because we know this new year brings new beginnings and new prosperity. New things, Lord, because you are a God of the new. We thank you, Lord, that you go with us wherever we go. Your Holy Spirit is with us and you minister to us. You are the comforter. You are our Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, Jehovah Nisi. Lord, we thank you for going with us wherever we go. And wherever this couple goes, Lord, I thank you that they're blessed. And if we don't see them again until heaven, Lord, I thank you that everything they do will prosper. They will be a blessing to others, and you will be a blessing to them as you are to us into this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Big round of applause if you'd like to come shake their hand and say goodbye.
Thank you.